around it, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Garrison Financial Friday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. A little early look at Major League Baseball, how it's gone so far. Are you concerned, Jarrett? After yesterday's debut of one Jack Leiter? Just one game? What about Jackson Holliday? Anybody getting concerned yet about his struggles? It's been a tough start for him, even though he literally was in high school 2 years ago right now. I don't know that anybody's getting like concerned about his future, just a tough start. Are the Braves still the NL favorites without Strider? Who's impressed? Who's disappointed? Just here in the early part of the season. NBA. Playing games tonight. But some concerning figures have come out as the regular season is over with regards to viewership. And not at a very good time, because the negotiation window with Turner and ESPN for the new TV package is ongoing, and the exclusive window ends on Monday. There's no deal in sight with those two. Matter of fact, those two entities appear to be wanting less NBA and not more. Why? Why would that be the case? Who could step in there and try to fulfill those spots with the inventory that the NBA has created? And then what is the selling point for the league moving forward? I think they're in a kind of a tough spot here for multiple reasons. We can talk a little bit about that. We've got high school baseball, district tournaments in the small schools, slow pitch. I put fast pitch, but it's slow pitch. district tournaments finishing up all across Western Oklahoma. It's been a good couple of days for the small schools in Western Oklahoma, that's for sure, on the baseball and the slow pitch diamond. Got a little clarity in the who may be coming out for regionals for the Big Elks. And then also, as Jared just mentioned it, and I saw this story yesterday, the Masters merchandise thief, Robert Glubinski, it appears his reign of terror over the merchandise at the Masters is complete. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. Radio, Penny News. Pick up a free copy of this week's Penny News at your favorite local newsstand all across, anywhere from I-35, up and down, north and south, clear out to Amarillo, Texas. Free Penny News. Check out the deals in it this week. Also, of course, Big Elk and Paragon TV are in that app as well for high school streaming of sports. Have some of that coming up next week, I'm just sure of it, as far as Big Elk TV goes. And then, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen anywhere where you can find other podcasts. How are you today, Jared?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. What a sad deal.
What
a sad story this is of this Robert Glubinski pilfering the Masters for millions of bucks, and it went on for 13 years. How in the world was he getting away with this for 13 years?
Well, you know, organized crime is pretty sophisticated nowadays. So I don't know the whole, I kind of read snippets of it. Did he work there? Did he?
It's not clear what his.
How does he have access for 13 straight years?
It's not clear what his role at Augusta National was, according to the story I'm looking up here on Golf Digest website. It appears that he was transporting stolen merch across state lines to Tampa, Florida. So I don't know if he was the insider in the merchandise building or if he was working with somebody that was sneaking merchandise out, handing it to him, and then he was the one transporting it across the state lines to be able to make a profit.
So to be clear, this is not, this was stolen goods. This was not purchased, he didn't purchase all this over time.
It says Robert Glubinski, a 39-year-old from Augusta, Georgia, was alleged to have moved millions of dollars worth of Masters Golf Tournament merchandise and historical memorabilia from the club from 2009 to 2022. It's not clear what his role at Augusta National was. Glubinski is said to have taken stolen items to Tampa, Florida, bringing in charges of transporting stolen goods across state lines. It's not clear what those items were or why charges were filed in Chicago.
No, no bueno.
Some a former Augusta National Golf Club worker. So he was, maybe he was the inside man. But he's charged in federal court in Chicago, stealing millions of dollars in merchandise over a 13-year span.
He's going to talk. I don't think he was working alone.
It feels a little murky at the moment to figure out exactly how he was able to get his hands on this. If he was the one stealing it, or if somebody else working at the club was, they were working together. Doesn't seem like this is a one-man job.
Nope.
Seems like this has to be a little bit of a conspiracy, a little bit of a criminal ring going on. I can't believe it took him 13 years to catch him. Does nobody do inventory at that joint? Or do they just say, you know what? We're crushing $850,000 an hour. Who cares?
Well, I'm sure inventory's being done, and it was noticed, and they're just trying to find the leak.
13 years worth of tracking him down.
Like we're losing something here. We, you know, and I think every store, I'm no businessman, but I'm sure every store notices, well, it says here we sold this many shirts, but the money doesn't add up. We're losing money. And I'm sure that happened. Shoplifting is a thing. But you wouldn't think there, but clearly there was.
Well, I don't know how you get away with it.
With everything you've told us, how that operation works. Yeah, I think someone else is involved.
He's got to be on the backside of this thing. He's not just walking out of the tent with merch.
I wonder if like, it's like, hey, what's his name?
Robert Glubinski.
Hey, Robbie. Robbie, unload the truck. Yeah. Unload the truck, and a couple stuff falls off the truck.
And all of a sudden, it ends up in my car.
Yeah.
Hey, Robert Glubinski, if you're listening, I could use some of those gnomes, those collectors, those collector item gnomes.
I think the red flag would have been, hey, Robbie, we're going to promote you. We're going to put you on the floor. We're going to help. You're going to sell.
No.
I love unloading the truck.
I need to be back here.
Unloading the truck. I'm a truck guy.
I've got this figured out, guys. Yeah. Don't need to train somebody new. I've got it figured out.
Or that's where you start, you know. Maybe the truck drivers, you know.
I don't know.
Maybe Robbie's slipping them a couple bills to, hey, before you get here, pull to the side and.
So, like, do you think he went to Tampa and just set it up on the side of the road? Hey, check out this Masters merch.
That some of that article, it's going online, right? It has to be.
I would think so.
Like, I don't know, underground or dark web or whatever. I mean, that's why it's so important. I mean, for everybody that you bought merch for, because you can't find it. You can, but it's so jacked up.
Yeah, and wouldn't be 100% sure it was authentic.
Even authentic, right.
Without being there and actually buying it. Sean and I were talking about this yesterday. In this story, it also details how Augusta National has been involved in numerous legal battles through the years. Have you heard about the auction house that sold a green jacket?
Yeah.
Some guy bought it at a thrift store for like $5 and then took it to the auction house or his family did or what have you, and they sold it for $140,000. I am certain – that whoever that guy was or gal was, well, back then it was guy. Listen, it was a guy. Is that gal thing didn't happen until a few years back. And this is like in the 50s. I'm certain he got banned. And probably his entire family for life. Once they figured out whose green jacket it was that was on the auction block.
Of course.
What a cool memorabilia item that would have been. I don't know if 140K cool. Well, I mean, not for me. But yeah, Robert Glubinsky. Once again. Ship those gnomes to my house or to the radio station, whatever. I'll pick them up. They'll be right here. You think the people that have that stolen stuff are getting worried yet that they'll get tracked down?
Again, he'll talk. But he'll find a plea deal. He'll say, listen, we won't lock you up, but tell us where you're taking it. You got to give us names.
It says if found guilty, Glubinsky would have to return all the stolen goods or money made from them.
Oh, boy.
Hope he put it in his piggy bank, man. Those millions of dollars.
Man, Tony Soprano's not going to like that.
Yeah, we don't want to be in possession of stolen goods from the text line. That's very true. We didn't. Now, does it count if you don't know they're stolen?
That's a little murky. I'm not sure. I'm not a lawyer or anything.
My wife said you don't need a gnome. You're right, honey. I need all the gnomes. So, yes, it does count. Well, that'd be a tough break. Well, first off, I think
I didn't know, officer.
I think if you got online and you're seeing
Is that like when you drive someone else's car, you get pulled over, then they find narcotics in it? You're in trouble.
It was my cousin's dope.
Driving the car. It's not my car. Doesn't matter.
It was my cousin's dope. Not mine. Well. There we have it. Tough
wild,
break.
Wild.
Probably
wild it's wild that he's gotten away with it for this
that's
long.
That's the part and that's shocking to me.
I think what part of it is, it probably started as a small thing. It took a hat there, took a couple shirts here, and over time it got bolder and bolder and realized I can make a lot of money the more stuff I take.
A little office space-ish.
A little bit.
Thought they were stealing.
Just going to overlook it.
Thought they were stealing fractions of a cent, and all of a sudden... They had hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yep.
Thank goodness Milton burned the building down.
Yeah, unfortunately, Milton's not there to burn down.
Yeah, Glubinsky's stuff.
Yeah. Now, but listen, and I was talking to KJ about this. You know, the Masters find out. They always find. They don't mess around either. I don't think they're going to let this go.
Oh no!
They're not
going to
say, okay, well, don't do it again.
No, Glubinsky's in a world of hurt.
Yeah, because the problem was he crossed state lines with it, so now it becomes
a federal matter.
Yep.
Well, it was probably a pretty good gig while it lasted, but like all things that are too good to be true, this one was as well for young Robert Glubinsky. So he started doing that when he was 26. So he went from 26 to 39 years old.
Here in about a year or two, when this all settles down, he'll get his interview. Somebody will interview him, and how'd you do it? And he'll talk.
This is going to be fun. Speaking of fun, it was probably not that much fun being out in the elements yesterday for the high school baseball and the slow pitch softball. It actually got nicer as the day went along. It
wasn't horrible.
Like when we got here, it was awful. When we left, it wasn't too bad. So hopefully the later people played, the better the conditions were. A couple of teams have advanced into regionals on the baseball side. Arnett beat Sweetwater twice, 15-0 and 12-2. Canute knocked off Sealing 12-3, so they're moving on. Cheyenne Raiden shut out Hollis 8-0. They're moving on. Leedy won their two-team district 12-0 and 15-1 against Eric. Granite won three games yesterday to move on, 18-0 against Indiahoma. Beat Duke twice, 16-3 and 13-3. Navajo looks like they didn't even have to play. Chatty and Olusty just said, never mind. So they're moving on. Sentinel won twice. They're still going to have to win again today. They beat Central Marlow 14-0 and Empire 9-4. Shattuck is in the driver's seat as well. 7-2 over Moreland, 13-1 over Fargo Gage, Fort Supply. Arapo Butler also in the driver's seat. They beat Ringwood 16-0 and O'Keen 10-0. So, really, really, really good on the baseball side for out here in Western Oklahoma.
So, one of our listeners, I know he's listening because he just texted. I heard, now that wind was that pretty much straight out of the north?
Felt like it.
Okay. I heard there was, for a Trojan net, there is a first over the fence home run for her, for Kendall Schuster.
Ah.
And I started thinking, how? With that wind straight out of the north, you're facing it when you're batting at that field. I want to know how that went down. Maybe it went over to left field and it was somehow aided by the, I don't know.
Well, we'll find out.
The wind was so strong, I didn't think anything was going to get out. And it left, right, center, doesn't matter how strong that wind was blowing. It's not like her back was to the wind.
Right. Yeah, there could have been certain locations around the state where
there's probably a ton of home runs.
Right. Big, giant scores. Well, here's one. I just glanced down because I've got the yesterday's schedule pulled up around the state. Well, Comus beat Garber 40-9.
I would see now. I'm where is it? Where is that at? Well, Comus, I assume.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Now I almost want to Google map and see what their field
looks
like.
It was 40-9, then it was 12-6. With Tumpka and Bennington, 22-14.
They got tired, is what happened. They got tired after.
You remember what was it?
40 runs.
What was it a few years back? Was it Elk City and Shattuck? It was like 56-40 or something like that.
Yeah. It was like at a festival over here, right?
I think it was at Shattuck.
Was it at Shattuck?
It was a windy day at Shattuck, and I think it was like 56-38 or 40 or something crazy like that. Minko beat Wewoka 30-3.
And I'm currently going to Waukomas. It's not a big town. Surely I could find the softball field. And that's up north. So every time I feel like when the wind's like this, the further north you go, the harder the wind is.
I think 40 is all I got.
That's a good question. How is 40-9 not a run rule?
Well, it is eventually.
I'd love to see the box on that. When did the run start coming?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it was a run rule eventually, but, you know, you put 35 on the board in the first inning. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Let me see if they've got a game changer. Here we go. Lady Chiefs.
You got.
No, it's not it.
Not it.
Darn it. Wacoma's Varsity Chiefs. Oh, here we are. Let's see if it's this one. Nope. We're efforting to figure out the Wacoma's Junior High. Here we go. Wacoma's Varsity Chiefs. You find it?
I found their field.
Oh, this is fall.
Yeah, they are definitely, the way this field, they had a heyday. The wind was totally at their back left field.
Wacoma's Varsity Chiefs, Varsity Lady Chiefs, slow pitch. Yeah, 40-9. All right, here we go. Box score. Well, they scored 20 in the first.
Oh, my God.
4 in the second. Here's the problem for poor Garber. They were the home team in this first. So their box score, 20 in the first, 4 in the second, 16 runs in the third. They had 40 runs on 32 hits and 2 Garber errors.
I've seen quite a few 8U games like that.
Okay, but so T. Rhodes, the center fielder leadoff, went 4-for-5 with 7 RBI. You have to complete
5 innings.
Well, in softball, you got to complete 3, clearly, since they only played 3. 3-for-5. Let's see. Hang on a minute. 4-for-4 with 7 RBI. 3-for-3 with 7 RBI. Walked a few times. Let's see how many home runs. Just one bomb.
No kidding.
Just one bomb. A. Melson. Now there were 3, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 doubles. 3 triples and a home run.
Well, that changes my opinion a little bit. I thought this was all wind aided, and it still could have been, but I was just assuming a bunch because I'm looking at their field.
And only two errors.
Well, maybe Wacomas is the – maybe they're okay.
Let's see the Oh, same person pitched for Garber. S. Prince. How about this line? Three innings, 32 hits given up, 39 runs, 34 of them earned, walked 16. There is an issue. 16 walks.
That's a problem. Yeah.
So that helps.
Well, okay. Wacomas is fourth in 2A.
Oh, well, there you go.
Not like they're just got lucky.
Yeah, that's. I wish I could see the ERA as well. 34 runs in three innings. It's astronomical.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Ouch.
Yeah, all right. There you go. 40-9. Let's see. Elsewhere on the slow pitch diamond, Cheyenne, Leedy, Mount View, Goody Boat already advanced. Then yesterday, Arapahoe Butler beat Fargo Gage Fort Supply twice, 16-0 and 12-0. Canute won 3, beat Pond Creek 12-3, and then beat OBA twice, 21-7, 10-2. Hammond's moving on 19-2 and 20-8 over Buffalo. Merritt's moving on as well. They beat Sayre 17-5, then beat Moreland twice, 20-5 and 10-8. So, really good stuff. Really, really good stuff for small schools, district as far as slow pitch and baseball.
Yeah.
Of course, we'll know regional assignments. I'm sure when we walk in here on Monday, we'll kind of know where everybody's going, who everybody's playing in the regional tournaments in baseball and also slow pitch softball. And then also, speaking of regionals, a little bit more of a clearer picture as far as Big Elk opponents coming up for next week's regional tournament. Still a game to be played in District 4A1. Bing beat Ada yesterday 6-5, and so now the Pirates move up to fourth right now with one more game to play against Ada. We can rule Ada out. Ada's going to finish sixth, so they're not coming. And so now it comes down to if Bing wins today, McLeod comes. If Bing loses to Ada today, I'm not sure what the tiebreak is. District points are favoring Bing. Those two teams split in their two district games. Bing won 15-3. And they lost 5-0. So the total run differential would favor Bing, which means McLeod would be here. If Bing wins, it's academic. McLeod's coming. Also yesterday, Bridge Creek and Purcell played their final district game. Purcell beat Bridge Creek 8-6. So that means Purcell, the Dragons, coming out here as the fourth place finisher in District 4A4. And so we got clarification yesterday as well, and I can't remember if we said this or not, but because District 2 doesn't have 8 teams, it'll just be a 3-team regional. And so the 3-team regional will look exactly like these district tournaments in the small schools. So let's say Bing wins today. Bing and Purcell will play. Elk City will play Bing. Elk City will play Purcell. If one team wins two, they're in the finals, and they'll play so that means the other two had to have beaten each other. They'll play whoever won that game. If everybody loses one and everybody wins one, the first two teams will play, and they'll play the Elks as the highest seed for a spot in the next week. So, we'll know for sure on Monday. We know for sure right now Purcell is headed out here as the fourth place finisher in District 4. Now it comes down to whether or not it's either going to be Bing or McLeod heading here for the regional tournament next week. So, clarification. Everything's getting clear as mud, right?
Sure. All right, I have to see brackets and stuff. That helps me map it out.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the standings.
Yep.
So when we come back, maybe a little bit of a bump in the road for the NBA financially coming up. Talk about that next. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports. Sports Animal.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The skinny on sports.
You can't say on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Well, that's certainly not the case for us. Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM.
We test that theory sometimes, though.
Yeah, we'll see who is listening. It is Garrison Financial Friday. Scott not with us as he's out of town, but we can tell you all about Garrison Financial. Full financial planner. He'll shop the open market to bring you the best value on your life insurance and your investments. Get a hold of him at scott@soonerwealth.com. 124 North Main Street here in Elk City is his physical address. And then 821-1219 is his phone number at the office. scott@soonerwealth.com. All right, so not great news, I would say, for the NBA off the floor from a financial standpoint, as the numbers are in for as far as the ratings and the television watching for this regular season. And unfortunately for the NBA, this is the lowest rated season of all time when it comes to viewership. And that comes off the heels of four of the worst five rated finals. Four of the worst five have been the last 4 years in a row. And unfortunately, this comes at the time where, right now, Turner and ESPN have an exclusive negotiating window to renew their deal. That exclusive window ends Monday, and from all accounts on either side of this, Turner and ESPN are not only not going to pay more for the rights to broadcast these games, they are trying to pay less and have less NBA on their stations. The NBA was hoping that this deal would reach at least $75 billion over the course of it, coming off of the last one that was 62, I believe. And so in order for that to happen, it's not coming from Turner and ESPN. They're partners for the last in this current deal. It's not coming from them. And so now the question rolls to, one, why? Why are Turner and ESPN looking to kind of get less NBA instead of more?
Well, less eyes. You don't want to.
What's
it's crazy is that I'm not disputing what you're saying. I also saw a thing that attendance was higher. Actual attendance to games were like 1.something% higher when compared to last year. But what's crazy is people would rather go to the games apparently and not watch the games on TV.
Well, and you wonder as far as the attendance goes, how much is it getting back to pre-COVID levels?
That's true.
You know, people getting more comfortable as we get further away from 2020 to be out in that public space.
Are we seeing more of an even playing field? There's more interest because everyone believes my team is still pretty dang good. I don't know if the parity's there or not, but people, I guess, on those numbers are attending more games than watching. But to answer your question was, you know, why do they want it's all about money. I mean, if no one's watching, why would they pay to have more games on their network that nobody's watching? So they're going to find something else to supplement that to make more money, right? I mean, it's all dollars and cents.
It is all dollars and cents, and you know, for instance, it looks like, you know, Turner has been Tuesdays and Thursdays for NBA coverage. They're kind of wanting to just have one of those days. You know, once football is over, you've got ESPN on like Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. They're kind of wanting to get rid of one of those days as well, which means obviously their price tag is going down. So who can step in there? Streaming is becoming more and more and more and more and more of a thing. And then also, I think from reading the article I did, NBC may get back into the NBA. Like it appears that they would really kind of like that Sunday slot to broadcast NBA. And then hopefully,
like an afternoon, is that what they did?
Yeah, and they also, you know, there was in our youth growing up, the finals was an NBC broadcast.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was.
And I think that they would like to, in order to spend the money it's going to take for what the NBA is wanting, they would want to have kind of a rotation of the finals from ABC to NBC back and forth each year.
You mentioned the streaming thing. That could be something. I always said it's something we always kind of overlook and push to the wayside, but it's working, I think, with the NFL and their Thursday night game. I wonder if there's something in the works there where, and I know there's been talk of like Bally Sports, they've come to an agreement with Amazon that they could be picking up some games, which I'm crossing my fingers is a thing where blackouts are less of a thing and we could watch more of the Thunder in our area, in my case, the Rangers. But I wonder if something's working. I'm wondering, you know, is Amazon a player in this? I guess is my ultimate question.
I think there's a possibility. NBC also, obviously, with Peacock. I'm sure that would be implemented at some point as far as the streaming goes.
They got me with that NFL game. They got me as a subscriber.
Even Netflix is mentioned. You know, they just paid, what, $5 billion for WWE? And that even they're mentioned in the article as a possibility, as far as that goes. So, you know, it's I think there's a few things that are built into this though, as far as why the numbers are down.
Mm-hmm.
One, I think people are sick of Adam Silver, LeBron James, Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, and the ramming the politics down your throat. Did you happen to see what Pat Mahomes said yesterday?
No.
Basically, reporters were trying to bait him into endorsing one of the presidential candidates. And he said, I'm not going to do it. Voting is a personal choice that you need to do the research yourself and vote for the candidate that you believe is the best.
Kudos to him.
I mean, just think about the difference between that and the crap we hear. I mean, how much fun is it actually going to be for a playoff run and not to have to sit there and listen to Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just spew their political agenda. I'm sure Steve Kerr's already campaigning for Biden as we speak, which is fine, but it's outside of my limelight, outside of my view. So I don't care. Go do it. Just don't do it on the the post game of, you know,
we want to know your thoughts on Steph's play. We don't care who you're voting for. Yeah.
So I think that's part of it. Here's another thing, though. I think obviously the last time that the negotiations happened for the NBA was in a great spot. Why? They were entering into the prime window of LeBron, Steph, Kevin Durant, of their careers.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward to this negotiating time. I think another reason why the viewership is down. Who are the best players?
Jokic.
Who are the best players in the league?
Joker, Giannis, SGA.
What do they all have in common?
Small markets.
What else? They ain't from here.
Well, there you go. Yes.
And I still believe that there's something about the viewership, of the American viewership, that wants to see Americans be the best. And they have been. For this TV window and this contract. But looking forward, I mean, if you start naming the top five, start naming the best players in the league in order, How long does it take to get to an American?
Maybe about five.
Five or six or seven, somewhere. I mean, eventually.
Yeah, Zach Lowe's, did you see his All-NBA team?
Uh-uh.
I'm going to list his first team.
Okay, hang on. Luka,
okay, do it.
Luka, SGA, Jokic, Giannis. And who am I missing?
Think of the best team. Record-wise,
I guess. Oh, Tatum.
Tatum.
So Jason Tatum or Anthony Edwards would be probably considered the best American player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, Edward isn't even on his second team. It's crazy.
But what I'm saying is you start to project forward for the next 6 to 8 years or 10 years, whatever this contract is going to be lengthwise. You're entering the primes of careers, but it's not of American-led league. It's coming from the international flavor is the players that this thing is kind of centered around. And I think that hurts. I think that hurts the viewership just enough to – it's not that it pushes people away, but in a league that has been dominated – for years and years and years and years and years by American-born players. You know, I heard Jim talking about this yesterday with Embiid going to play for the Americans instead of the French team. But, you know, each time the Olympics roll around, it feels like it's, you know, think back to 1992, the first Dream Team. They won every game by 40.
Yeah.
At least. But every time the Olympics have rolled around since then, it feels like the world has caught up. Just a little bit closer to now. I'm sure the American team will be the favorites to win the Olympic gold medal this summer, but not by much.
Not a lot. No. Who would be? It's like France.
I mean, France has got some guys. I mean, look at the Canadians are going to have a heck of a team.
Yeah.
You know, the former Yugoslavia, whatever they break that, it's Serbia now or whoever. You know, wherever Luke is at, they'll have a. You know, they always seem to be a factor. Spain is always in the running. You know, and sometimes it's Argentina, especially in the Manu heyday. Brazil.
Right.
But it's really interesting.
Yeah, but which just screams, this is why we need to change the All-Star game to USA versus.
Does USA have enough guys to make a team?
World? Well, I mean, we got enough to make an Olympic team. Why not?
Yeah, that's true.
But this Olympic team, and we haven't talked about it, and we will later. We got a few weeks for the Olympics, but this Olympic team does nothing for me. I'd be really worried about their chances.
Yeah, it's kind of the last hurrah of a lot of those guys.
Like, it feels a little old, doesn't it?
The LeBron, the KD, the Steph. Well, it's the same thing as what's happening in the league.
Exactly.
There's definitely a changing of the guard coming.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, okay, if it's not these guys, then who is it? Americans.
No doubt.
Right.
I mean, you start.
This might be it. Yeah.
You honestly start getting down. If you take away, say, 8 of those 12, like the oldest 8, and have to fill in with the next 8, unfortunately, you start to dip down into the Chet, J-Dub type player.
Right.
Which, no offense to those guys, I just don't. It sure doesn't seem like they should be Olympians just yet.
Not yet.
So maybe next time. I think you'll probably be happy to have them next time.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, it's a really interesting time for the NBA because I'm just not sure what their selling point is. It was easy last time when these TV negotiations happened. It was simple. We got LeBron, Steph, KD coming into their prime of their careers. Let's roll. Pay that man his money.
And I mentioned it. And I kind of accidentally made a point where those guys, these stars now, these up-and-coming stars now, they're not in the largest of markets.
No.
I mean, maybe Luka and Dallas, but, you know, SGA obviously in OKC. You got Denver, Milwaukee. So that's part of it, too. Mm-hmm. I think these networks look at that and go, yeah, there's not a lot of eyeballs in Oklahoma City.
Right.
You know.
Which every time there's a lot of, you know, the biggest names come up for – you know, in free agency, that's why the media constantly tries to push them to New York or Chicago or Miami or
right.
L.A.
Right.
You know, that's, we're already seeing that, heck, a couple years ago. Once people realized that Shea was pretty good, it's like, okay, well, it's time to get him out of Oklahoma City. Where can he go?
Right. Always trying to tie him to Toronto.
Yeah, which is a major, major market.
Sure.
But it's not in America, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, and this also comes, golly, it feels like every time there's either a new CBA or there's a new TV deal, doesn't it always seem like it's at the time, at a critical time in like the building or continuing of the Thunder? You know, 2012, there's the finals happen, then there's a CBA thing, and you have to trade Harden because you can't keep Harden in Ibaka, and the next thing you know, the new deal would have worked great, except for it happened after the fact.
Yeah.
You know, then the new TV deal kicks in, and instead of, like, spreading it out over a few years on the salary cap, the decision is made by the Players Association to just fire it all in at once, and that creates the space for Golden State to sign Kevin Durant. And now here we are with these, you know, this team and needing the cap to explode and continue to go higher and higher and higher in order to hold on to all these guys that you've drafted. And now you're looking around, and is the cap going to shrink because the TV money isn't going to be what it was projected to be because the TV partners aren't getting the return on their investment because of these ratings? And is that going to screw the Thunder over again? A lot of unanswered questions over the next year or so as these negotiations move forward until we see exactly what happens. If the, you know, because forever it seemed like there's just been this giant bubble where these contracts just continue to go higher. Is the NBA's negotiation this time going to be what actually makes that bubble go burst? Maybe a little sanity is restored. Sure doesn't seem that way in college football or the NFL. Doesn't seem like that bubble is coming to roost anytime soon. But for the NBA and for Major League Baseball, it does appear that that could be the case.
The politics of it, what we mentioned, is a big thing. And then just the shift of star power, too. So it's just kind of like a perfect storm, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, it's those, you know, but here's the thing. This was always a conversation in the early 2000s as Michael, Larry, and Magic exited stage right. Oh, no, what's the NBA going to do? Well, enter LeBron James, then eventually Steph Curry,
yeah,
KD. You know, it always seems to work itself out. You just hope that it doesn't play into another almost forcing Sam Presti's hand from a money standpoint when things seem so... I mean, we always talk about nothing's for granted because of injuries and this or that. But I think this is another aspect of the business of the league that, especially being in a small market, Oklahoma City and Presti has to pay so much more attention to than a lot of the other places.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we'll see what happens. When we return, kind of an early look at Major League Baseball. Anybody surprise you? Anybody disappointing so far from a team standpoint, from a player standpoint? So young guys making debuts. Lots of stuff to kick around in Major League Baseball. We'll be back. Garrison Financial Friday right here on the Skinny on Sports.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member, FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Omaha. Omaha.
Pivot.
We're going to have to run an audible here in this last segment.
We're going
to
pivot.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports on a Garrison Financial Friday. You just heard Jaden and KJ talking about the wonderful menu at the Boomtown Grill. Coming up tomorrow, OU spring game. What a perfect place to watch the OU spring game at the Boomtown Grill. Last night was the 50-cent boneless chicken wing special. Got happy hour from 2 to 6 Monday through Friday. 12 big screen TVs. There's also drink specials, appetizer plates. I would recommend chicken nachos as an appetizer if you're down there. They are absolutely delicious. 11 beers are on tap. 30 bottles and cans available. Imports and domestics. They've got a large wine selection. The smoked old fashioned is a house favorite drink. They got burgers, sandwiches, pizzas, pastas, everything you can imagine. Seafood, chicken, steaks as well. Visit the Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main in Elk City. They're open 7 days a week, 11 to 10 Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 today and tomorrow. It is the Garrison Financial Friday. Scotty G unable to be with us today. And I'm sure he would enjoy or have thoughts about tomorrow's spring game at the University of Oklahoma, the first spring game as a member of the Southeastern Conference. I guess they're not technically a member until like July the 1st, but hey, we all know it's coming. They're going to have the SEC patch on the unis, probably the logo on the field for the first time in Norman. What, if anything, are you looking for in the spring game tomorrow?
Well, everybody looks for the skill players and Jackson Arnold and who he's going to throw to, wide receivers, running back. It's got to be the offensive line. What's that going to look like? It's clearly an issue that everyone's talked about. But, you know, Beedenbo's a good coach. Is he going to work magic? And, you know, and then, of course, there's going to be port. So it's not going to be the same offensive line we're going to see, I think, in the fall. We're going to see some portal entries and stuff like that. But that's immediately where I'm going to go. That's where my eyes are going to go to. You can't run it if you don't have an offensive line. You can't throw it if you don't have time to throw it. So that's the first thing I'm going to look for.
Yeah, it's so hard to tell in a scrimmage environment.
It is hard. It's
so I'm going to look for, and I know the weather's not going to be very good, or it doesn't look like it's going to be very good, but coming off the performance that he had against Arizona in the Alamo Bowl, which was good and some bad, I'm going to need to see Jackson Arnold not make mistakes, turning the football over, throwing interceptions. Just maybe a little inkling that there's been some growth since that game in December. Yeah, I think season long, no concerns. You hit the nail right on the head. The offensive line is the major concern in Norman heading into the first season in the SEC. I don't think there's any doubt about that. With basically a brand new five up there, you know, it's so interesting because I think if you ask most people that watched Oklahoma a year ago, you would get the comments of, well, you know, it didn't seem like the offensive line ever really gelled, which is super interesting considering that the three guys that everybody knows is going to get drafted next week are offensive linemen with Rouse, Guyton, and Andrew Rain. So that kind of feeds into that narrative of concern, but at the same time, I don't think anybody really thought it was all that good last year. So, you know, I think there's You know, and obviously Caden Green was supposed to be a mainstay and probably the rock of the line, and he's at Missouri. That was well chronicled after the season and in the portal and all that. So I think you're exactly right from a season perspective. Everyone that's going to be, when Oklahoma is brought up, the first thing that's going to be brought up is concern at the O-line. And especially with going into this conference.
Right. Yeah, it's so hard to gauge anything because, like, with the portal, I mean, we're watching one team that could be completely, with, you know, outside of major key pieces like Arnold. So, you know, there's going to be the overreactors are going to watch this game and completely break down the offensive line, for instance. Well, I mean, what if they go and get two key pieces from the portal? It's going to be a different look, but... But still, I mean, the guys that are on campus, you got to hope that there's some bright spots that we can see along that line. Go ahead.
There's young guys that were highly recruited.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the coverage's not bare. It feels like it, but there are guys there.
That were recruited.
They're being thrust onto that offensive line maybe a little earlier than they thought they'd be.
Yeah, you're just thinking about the inexperience.
Yeah,
and maybe the lack of physical maturity that it seems like it takes in that league week in and week out.
What about defensively? Anything there looking for?
I think this is a huge weekend defensively, and not necessarily for the game, but I'm talking about for the portal. You see UCLA, defensive tackle, in the portal, that most of the people that follow that kind of stuff think that Oklahoma will be a player. TCU had one in the portal who was a freshman All-American a couple of years ago. OU was in on him till the end. He's going to be in Norman. That's another place to look. And you know, I think people are super-duper-duper excited about the possibilities of Jaden Jackson and David Stone as true freshmen. But I also don't know that that's what you really want to see. You know, when Tennessee rolls in here, are you really wanting to see two true freshman defensive tackles starting and running the SEC gauntlet? I don't think so. I think you'd really like to have that supplemented with some more mature guys. Not that they can't play, but I think it more rotational pieces for now as opposed to mainstay bedrock guys in the middle of that defensive line. So I think it's a huge weekend portal-wise. I know they're planning on, I'd seen upwards of 70 as far as recruits go that are going to be there, and that list seems to be growing by the day. And so, yeah, I mean, it's like the spring showcase, and, you know, portal opened, what, Monday? There's already, you know, you see some different guys even this week that have jumped into the portal from Oklahoma. I think there's a reason for that. One, they're at like 91 scholarships and need to be down to 85. And two, I think they're starting to make room for some different guys that they believe that they'll bring in this spring portal window to supplement, and especially on the lines. Mm-hmm. Especially on the lines.
So the point is here, don't panic, OU fans, if after this weekend you start to see some more entries into the portal. That's probably by design and encouraged.
And especially if you don't really recognize their names.
Yeah. There's a guy earlier this week.
No, Shane Witter was a really highly recruited linebacker from North Carolina. He never really panned out.
Nah.
And those, you know, then all of a sudden there's tight ends that I've never even heard of. So, yeah. Now, that narrative will be there. Oh, my gosh, Oklahoma's broke. They can't pay anybody. Yeah, I think this is designed to kind of cut the fat. Process different players. And let's be honest, this is a must. This is the SEC way of life. Go back and look at recruiting class numbers for Alabama, LSU, throughout the years. They sign an entire extra class in a four-year window because there's no free rides, man. If you're not cutting it, you can go to Alabama State. You know, you can go somewhere else.
Yeah.
That was the Saban way of life. Was this isn't a 4-year thing, man. This is a year to year. And if you're not performing, we'll find somebody that will.
Yep.
And that's just the harsh reality of this. And as it becomes more and more pro style with more and more NIL and that kind of thing, that's just going to be the way it is. And so I think you're right. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing when you're going to start seeing these portal entries out because of what's coming next. The portal can take it the way. The portal, it appears, is going to giveth back to Oklahoma here in the spring. So it's always a fun day, but I don't think any giant overreactions, good or bad, need to come on Monday or tomorrow with what we see.
No.
All right. That's going to do it. Play-in games tonight. Spring game for OU tomorrow. See, Quade Cummins can move up the leaderboard in the Corn Ferry Tour. He shot 3-under yesterday. Probably going to need a couple under to be for sure inside the cut line, but a really good round, and he'll be right up toward the top of the board. Everybody have a great weekend. Thanks for listening on this Garrison Financial Friday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!